Test 5. Listening. I'm going to give you the instructions for this test. I'll introduce each part of the test and give you time to look at the questions. At the start of each piece, you'll hear this sound. You'll hear each piece twice. Remember, while you're listening, write your answers on the question paper. You'll have 5 minutes at the end of the test to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. There'll now be a pause. Please ask any questions now because you must not speak during the test. Now open your question paper and look at part one. You'll hear three different extracts. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer A, B or C, which fits best according to what you hear. There are two questions for each extract. Extract 1. You hear two friends, Jeanette and David, talking about playing the guitar. Now look at questions 1 and 2.
Hi, Jeanette. How's your guitar practice going?
Hi, David. Well, I only started learning to play the guitar about 6 months ago, and I am making progress, although it doesn't always feel like that. I have good days and bad days. I wonder if great famous guitarists have the same problem getting motivated some days. My mum keeps telling me to practice more, so I looked up on the internet what to do to spur myself into action, and yes, there's loads of suggestions. But after a few futile hours browsing, I realised just reading about it wasn't the solution.
Still, I really think playing the guitar is a great pastime, and it's certainly doing what I hoped it would for me. On my college course, we were getting into some really complex work.
Oh yeah, you're doing maths, right?
And I was finding it hard to keep focused when I was doing these really long calculations, and I heard that learning a musical instrument can help with that.
And does it?
Without a doubt. Some of my classmates were getting a bit anxious about college work, and I've recommended learning an instrument to them. Hi, Jeanette. How's your guitar practice going?
Hi, David. Well, I only started learning to play the guitar about 6 months ago, and I am making progress, although it doesn't always feel like that. I have good days and bad days. I wonder if great famous guitarists have the same problem getting motivated some days. My mum keeps telling me to practice more, so I looked up on the internet what to do to spur myself into action, and yes, there's loads of suggestions. But after a few futile hours browsing, I realised just reading about it wasn't the solution.
Still, I really think playing the guitar is a great pastime, and it's certainly doing what I hoped it would for me. On my college course, we were getting into some really complex work.
Oh yeah, you're doing maths, right?
And I was finding it hard to keep focused when I was doing these really long calculations, and I heard that learning a musical instrument can help with that.
And does it?
Without a doubt. Some of my classmates were getting a bit anxious about college work, and I've recommended learning an instrument to them.
Extract 2. You hear two engineers who work in the same company talking on the radio about new technology and roads. Now look at questions 3 and 4.
Our company is working on some exciting new initiatives, all connected with roads. For example, making a road surface that contains magnets, so that electric cars can be charged as they're driven along the road. This means electric car drivers won't have to stop and recharge their cars on long journeys. Personally, I'm involved with harnessing the wind that cars generate as they go along. This can be used to generate the required electricity for street lamps. A different department is looking at painting road markings with special paint that gets energy from the sun during the day, and then the road markings light up at night.
We've been having some problems with getting the paint to shine to the same brightness along all the roads. But what interests me is that we can even put solar panels on roads. Yes, roads made of glass. But don't worry, they won't be slippery. Drivers can still stop quickly, even when traveling at around 125 kilometers an hour. These glass roads would also be perfect for countries with cold climates, as they can be used to melt snow and ice. That would be a real bonus.
Our company is working on some exciting new initiatives, all connected with roads. For example, making a road surface that contains magnets so that electric cars can be charged as they're driven along the road. This means electric car drivers won't have to stop and recharge their cars on long journeys. Personally, I'm involved with harnessing the wind that cars generate as they go along. This can be used to generate the required electricity for street lamps. A different department is looking at painting road markings with special paint that gets energy from the sun during the day, and then the road markings light up at night.
We've been having some problems with getting the paint to shine to the same brightness along all the roads. But what interests me is that we can even put solar panels on roads. Yes, roads made of glass. But don't worry, they won't be slippery. Drivers can still stop quickly, even when traveling at around 125 kilometers an hour. These glass roads would also be perfect for countries with cold climates, as they can be used to melt snow and ice. That would be a real bonus.
Extract 3. You hear two sociologists talking about disagreeing. Now look at questions 5 and 6.
I teach sociology, and this week I've been talking about disagreeing. It's fascinating because I have students from all corners of the world in my classes, and we've had some in-depth discussions about who you can express disagreement with and when, you know, what to do if you're talking to someone older than you, for example. And actually, that's all quite straightforward. Societies have rules for that. But what makes it tricky is that disagreeing stirs up feelings, from anger to embarrassment.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. Like you, as a sociologist, I've thought about disagreeing from an academic perspective. Interestingly, though, when someone at work disagreed with my proposal to introduce flexi-time, I realised there's a great difference between theory and practice. I almost immediately started steering the conversation to something else. I didn't do it in a rude way. I just kept redirecting the conversation. Afterwards, I had no idea why I'd done that, because I'm sure my colleague and I could have discussed it and come to a practical solution.
You were probably worried about being in an awkward situation with a colleague.
You're right.
I teach sociology, and this week I've been talking about disagreeing. It's fascinating because I have students from all corners of the world in my classes, and we've had some in-depth discussions about who you can express disagreement with and when, you know, what to do if you're talking to someone older than you, for example. And actually, that's all quite straightforward. Societies have rules for that. But what makes it tricky is that disagreeing stirs up feelings, from anger to embarrassment.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. Like you, as a sociologist, I've thought about disagreeing from an academic perspective. Interestingly, though, when someone at work disagreed with my proposal to introduce flexi-time, I realised there's a great difference between theory and practice. I almost immediately started steering the conversation to something else. I didn't do it in a rude way. I just kept redirecting the conversation. Afterwards, I had no idea why I'd done that, because I'm sure my colleague and I could have discussed it and come to a practical solution.
You were probably worried about being in an awkward situation with a colleague.
You're right.
That's the end of part one.